If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today is Wednesday. That means it is Fire Bible Discipleship Night at Merit Assembly of God. We would love to have you come and be a part of that. Listen, our church absolutely loves this program that we're going through. It's not complex. It's not complicated. We just all go through this together. I believe tonight is on the covenants. And so if you want to come and be a part of that, the old covenant and the new covenant, that will be tonight, 7 p.m. We also have our youth service at 7 p.m. for any teenagers that you might have. We also want to say thank you to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes. They are listeners of the radio program. That's one of the ways that we came to know one another. And the other way was I contacted them about doing some work at my house about a year and a half ago, and they did an amazing job and have done an amazing job for us at the church as well. There's some projects that we're going to see in 2023, I believe, come to pass, but they have some great ideas on how to make your yard beautiful, appealing to the eye. Sometimes that in my neighborhood, I get a chance to walk the neighborhood and it's like, that looks really nice there. And I said, if I ever decide to do that, the folks that I'm going to call are Coastal Image Landscapes. They do a great job at an affordable price and they love Jesus. You can reach Dan at, Dan is who I deal with. I believe this phone number will get you in touch with Dave, who's in charge of the lawn care division, 321-208-2281, 321-208-2281. Have them come out, meet with you, see the scope of the project that you want, and then you can go from there. Talking about a price, and I know this, that you will be greatly pleased when the project is done. One of my daughters came and saw the projects that they had done for me probably a year and a half after it was done and said, "Dad, did you do that yourself?" And I said, "No," and told her who did it. And she said, "It looks amazing." And so I know that they can do that for you like they did that for me. Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So we are going back to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24, and it says this: "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So we've talked a little bit about there's very similar actions that take place here. But different outcomes, different results because of a different lifestyle that is chosen. One is a lifestyle of obedience. The other is a lifestyle of disobedience. One is about hearing what Jesus has to say and doing it. The other hears what Jesus has to say and doesn't do that. Some people have eliminated a step and they've just chosen to reject the word of God at all. It's not just the hearing, it is whether or not you do it or you don't do. What was it in Star Wars? There is no try, there is either do or not do. And so you and I have got to decide how we are going to respond to the teachings of Jesus Christ. One is going to have a glorious outcome, The other is going to have a devastating outcome, and God doesn't want your life devastated. I don't want your life devastated. I want you to stand when everything is coming at you, when it is an all-out spiritual blitz in your life. I want you to be anchored to Jesus Christ so that you can withstand the storm. So we've talked about the hearing, the perceiving, the doing, the not doing. There's the wise person. There's the foolish person. And that, again, that's not me labeling those terms. That's Jesus using those terms, and you can't argue with him. If he says that something is wise, it's wise. If he says something is foolish, then it is foolish. So the difference is whether or not we are going to respond to the word of God the way that Jesus wants us to. And that involves action. You know, Jesus tells us to do something. Are we going to do it? So I had some people that worked for me one time, and this was pre-pastoring. I was a staff pastor, but I was managing businesses, and I would tell my staff what I wanted them to do in the night shift. And someone came up to me and said, you know, they don't do any of that stuff that you tell them, right? And I said, yes, I know. Because I could tell by the sales of how busy they were or how busy they weren't. That's not 100% accurate, because you can show a lot of shoes and not sell that much. But most of the time, there was some correlation between traffic and sales. And I could tell that they weren't doing the things that I wanted them to do. So basically that just meant that if anything was very important, I eliminated them from the equation, and I went ahead and took care of that myself. How do you respond? Let's start this day off with an assessment. How do you respond to Jesus' teaching? Do you treat it like a suggestion? Do you treat it just everybody else's opinion and say, well, that's one thing that you could say, and just kind of group it all together with the rest of the conflicting sources of influence in your life? Or do you say, this is the word of God the Son? He knows better about how my life should go than anybody else does. I should listen to him, and I should take action the way that he wants me to take action. So that's really where we begin to see whether we're going to have a wise result to our life or a foolish result to our life. Okay, so let's begin to look at some of the similarities. The similarities begin with this realization. It says, I will liken him, verse number 24, to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The one thing that I can definitely tell you is that every single person listening to my voice has, you may have a different background. You may have different finances, you may have different education level, but all of us are responsible to build our life according to the word of God. Nobody can stop you from doing that. Nobody can do that for you. You've got to make that choice that you are going to build your life upon the word of God. You can choose to build your life on other things, but all of us are going to be building our lives, and we are going to be held accountable. We are going to be judged by how well we build. And sometimes that's going to come for believers. That could be the Bema Seat of Christ, where the wood, hay, and the stubble is going to be consumed, but we're still going to be saved. There can be a day of accountability for the foolish people who didn't do what God told them to do. And sometimes you and I will see how well we've built our life by how well we respond to the storms. Okay? We'll talk about the storms here in just a moment. Don't use your past as an excuse not to build your future. I'm going to say that again. I don't have it written down. I'm just going to tell you, don't use your past as an excuse not to build your future. At Merit Assembly of God, it would be very easy for me to get depressed by focusing on all of the bad things that have happened through the decades. You know, my office manager here a few weeks ago found an old church directory on her computer. And we just, you know, real quickly went through and we saw some people who had passed away. We saw some people who moved away. We saw some people whose families fell apart. And there were some, you know, jubilant moments. There were some sorrowful moments. And then there were moments that you just said, I wonder whatever became of their life. And that wasn't due to neglect on my part. That was people making decisions on what they were going to build their future, how they were going to build it. And, you know, I've known some people who did not have much in the way of construction skills. At one point in time, I was one of those people. My brother and I, we decided that we were going to build a treehouse on my grandfather's property. My grandfather used to live right next to my great-grandmother, and there was this monster tree, and my brother and I decided we were going to build a treehouse, and there was all sorts of scrap wood and things like that. We didn't use a level. We didn't use a tape measure. I'm not even sure we used a saw, but we used about 25 pounds of nails. And that tree eventually died. It may have died from nail exposure because 25 pounds of nail. And it was just a horrible, horrible treehouse. If you ever saw that treehouse, you'd say, Bob, don't ever build me anything, ever. You are terrible at this. But as my life went along, there were some skills that I needed to develop construction-wise. In fact, one of the funniest things is that God put me, who was really lousy at construction, as pastor of Merit Assembly of God, where just about everything needed some sort of construction TLC. Sometimes it needed contractors. Sometimes it just needed somebody who had the do-how, even though they might not have had the know-how. I was praying one time, and I was up and above the ceiling tiles, and I said, God, why did they do that? And he said, because the people who had the know-how didn't have the do-how, and the people who had the do-how didn't have the know-how, but they did it. I said, I can live with that answer. I can live with that answer. You're going to build your life either on the Word of God or not on the Word of God, and you can't use your past as an excuse not to do it. Where you came from is one thing, but where you're going to end up is another thing. Do not think that just because you survived one storm does not mean that there's not another storm that is going to come by. There will be more storms. There will be more things that will challenge how well you have built things. If there was a storm coming, don't ever get up in the treehouse that I built. But I will tell you that there was a pastor that said one time he came to visit and he saw the construction of Merit Assembly of God, and he said, I would have no problems at all. He was familiar with going through hurricanes. He said, I would have no problems at all riding out a hurricane in this building. And after all of the storms that we've had through the years, and our building has been there for 60 plus years, and has survived relatively unscathed. The storms have done very, very little, other than just some minor cosmetic stuff along the years that was very easy to repair. How you build needs to be determined by the Word of God. It is the Word that is spoken, the Word that is heard, and the Word that is done. So you will build your life. The foolish man also built his home. It says that he built his house on the sand with no standards, with nothing stable, nothing to support it, nothing to stabilize it. It was very much subject to the shifting of its environment. Okay? When you are anchored to the rock, you are not, what you've built is not subject to the shifting of your environment. It is stabilized because it's anchored to the rock. And so you can see churches, you can see families, you can see government institutions, Hollywood. You can see with what's going on, if you just open your eyes, you can see if they're anchored to the Word of God that is settled forever in heaven or on earth, or if they are built upon the shifting atmosphere of the culture that they're part of. The Word of God transcends culture. The Word of God is above culture. It is of greater importance. It has greater stability, greater wisdom. Whenever you build something and you don't do it according to the Word of God, you are going to find that when the culture shifts, things are either going to stand or they're going to fall. God wants you to be able to stand. So through the years, whenever I was going to take a project on, I would go to an expert and I would say, would you mind if I work for you? Okay, so there was a project we were going to do. It was years ago. It was during the summer. It was when my son was in school. 20 some years ago. And I said, would you mind if my son and I came and worked for you? And this was pre iPhone. And I said, and could I bring my camera so my son could record what we're doing? And they said, no, come on over. I'll show you how to take care of that. And so I learned that skill. And then after I had learned it, I showed it to some of the men in my church so that they would know how to do it. And then a larger group of men came together and we even refined the process and ended up getting it done in a very short period of time. And it was a dramatic improvement because we went to somebody who knew how to build in order for it to survive the storm. You will build your life. We have the responsibility to do that. We have the responsibility to decide what we're going to do with what we are given. In Matthew chapter 16, I was thinking of this right before I came in, and Matthew chapter 16 is where Jesus begins at verse number 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? If you want to know something, he just gave them the answer right there. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said to them, but who do you say that I am? See, it's not just what culture has to say. It's really a personal decision. Who do you say that I am? In verse number 16, it says this, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so if Jesus builds his church on the rock, which is the rock of revelation, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's a divine revelation, and he said, that's the rock I'm building my church on. Some people look at this verse and say, no, Jesus is saying he's going to build his life on Peter. I want you to know that Jesus is not building his church on any one man. He's building it upon who he is and the will of God for the church of the living God. So verse number 22, same chapter, it says, then Peter took him aside, Jesus aside, and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. What Jesus just said there, or what Peter just demonstrated in that moment, was that he wasn't the stability that was necessary to build a church upon. He was more of shifting. He shifted emotionally. When Jesus told him what God's plan was, God's plan didn't line up with Peter's plan. And Peter began to rebuke Jesus. It's like, no, that's not happening. I will tell you something. If Jesus says it's happening, it's happening. When he says that he is coming for his bride, he's coming for his bride. Don't ever think differently. If he says, if you do this, if you are faithful in the small things, you will be made faithful in much, it's going to happen. Be faithful. Be faithful. I wish that I could communicate in a manner that was able to influence the body of Christ just exactly how important faithfulness is. So all of my kids are serving in churches in various capacities. Some of them in volunteer capacity, some of them in paid capacity, some of them in kind of a part-time hybrid type situation. But they are all faithful in their finances, faithful to serve. And so back in late January, one of my children was needing a different job. And people inside the church knew some people who were looking for jobs, and they submitted their resumes, they got them an interview, and they ended up getting hired. And I told that child, they're an adult, they're just my child. I said, what I think you're seeing is, I think you are seeing a harvest of your faithfulness to the local church, that the people who you have served have seen what excellence that you are serving with, and they're not afraid to say to their friends, hey, you need to consider this person here for employment. How will you build your life? So across the street from our church parking lot, there is a lot that has been empty for decades, but now someone is building on it. And the first thing that they had to do was they had to prepare the ground for the foundation before they could ever prepare for the building. And for you and I, however we're going to build, we need to say, what does God's word have to say about it? So, personal transparency here. There was a time where I felt like God had said to do something. And because I thought it was God that said to do that, I did it. And the results were terrible. They were horrible. They were devastating. It was devastating financially. And I said, God, what happened? And there wasn't a angry dad corrective voice or anything like that. I just started getting back into the word and, you know, just continuing on there. And I came across Proverbs, and I found that what I had tried to do didn't line up with God's wisdom in his word. And I said, oh, so that's why that didn't work out the way that it was supposed to. It's because it wasn't you that said that. I just thought it was you that said that. So that's why I tell people, you need to get into the word of God, because there are three spiritual voices. There's God, you always want to do what he has to say. There is the devil, you never want to do what the devil says. And then there's our spirits, which are easily led astray. And sometimes, because we're so familiar with what we want, we think that it's God speaking to us. And sometimes it's our flesh, our carnal nature. I pray this for you. I pray you never experience the loss that I did. And the way that you can do that is you can build your life on the word of God. Build it spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, relationally, intellectually. Build every aspect of your life on the word of God. Do what God's word has to say, and you will be set up for success. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Give us heart.